2,000 years ago, a man called Jesus of Nazareth died on a cross. He shed his blood. He died. He was buried. He rose from the dead. That's what we're celebrating today. We call that day Easter. They called it Easter also at that time. The title that I have given the message for today, and I think you'll understand it by the time we get through, is Easter 2021. Remember this year. Remember this day. Because there may not be many more of them for the Christian. In Acts chapter 2, a very special event took place, an event that we are still beneficiaries of. The Holy Spirit came. And when he came, he empowered the Christians of that day to be able to serve a risen Savior. Let's read a few of the verses. Acts 2, 22 through 24. Acts 2, 22 through 24. This is Peter speaking. And he says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." You know, that first Easter was a day when the world was changed forever. In our opening verses, Peter preached about the change, and the church has been preaching it ever since for 2,000 years. Several things took place on that day that have affected the world for the last 2,000 years. The greatest event was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's never been a greater resurrection, never been a greater event in the history of the world, not even the creation. Jesus told his disciples in advance about what was going to happen. In Matthew 16, 21, Jesus told his disciples, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." They heard it, but they never understood it. They never anticipated what that really was going to mean. And so there are some things that I want to be sure that we all understand this morning. When Jesus was on the cross, there were certain things that had to take place in order that all of prophecy might be fulfilled. After these things were complete, Jesus gave up his spirit. The men did not kill him. He died willingly. He gave up his spirit. John 19, 28 through 30 tells us, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it unto his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost." Once Jesus was dead, how did he come back to life? Verse 24 of our opening verses tells us in Acts 2:24, of whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. God the Father raised up Jesus from the dead. Just a few verses later, we're told the same thing again in Acts 2:32. Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. God was the instrument of the resurrection of Jesus. But Jesus is not the only one who will be raised up. Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:14 tells us, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Folks, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, there is a day coming when you are going to experience the same thing Jesus did. You are going to be resurrected. That's why we're gathered here this morning. We're gathered here to celebrate that death has no hold on us. I hope everyone here this morning understands that if we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save us from our sins, that he will also give us eternal life. And that eternal life means the same things for us that it did for Jesus. He will raise us up too at the proper time. Now, God will raise up our bodies as he raised up the body of Jesus. Our soul will not need to be raised up because we are told in Scripture that our soul at the time of death goes to be with the Lord. It doesn't get buried, folks. It's alive. It's alive for eternity because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. 2 Corinthians 5:6 through 10. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So let me make this clear. When we die, our body will die. Our soul will go to be with the Lord. And we will continue to live somewhere forever. Now, I trust you notice that we undergo judgment when we appear before Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians here, chapter 5, that word for judgment, and a lot of you may have heard this, but you don't know where it came from. It comes from this chapter, this word, judgment, bema seat. Have you ever heard of the bema seat judgment? That is when we stand before Jesus Christ, not to be punished, but to receive rewards or not to receive rewards for what we have done. Not Jesus paid for our sins. He paid the penalty. The bema seat judgment is when we die and we stand before the Lord. He passes judgment. Do you get a reward or do you not receive a reward? How have you lived your life? Have you lived your life for Jesus? Have you lived your life telling others about him? You've got a reward. Maybe you haven't done that, all right? Then you might be missing a reward. But it represents an individual judgment that every saved soul will go through. There's one judgment you need not fear. You need never fear the great white throne judgment. That is for sin and for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because at that judgment, the first thing they do is look in the book and see if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if it's there and you're saved, you're not in that judgment. You've already received a blessing in heaven. Today, let me give you a thought. With the situation the way it is in our nation and in the world, this very well may be our last Easter celebration. Jesus may come back in this coming year for his church. It's never looked such a positive prospect as we look around at the situation in our society. Just think, this may be our last Easter. For the world, it's Easter bunnies and candy. For the believer, it's a time of urgency as we need to get the message out to the lost people around us, to the people we love, to the people we know. And there should be an urgency because we may not get another Easter. It could happen this year. Now, the law of thermodynamics teaches us that everything is in a decline, a state of decline. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, houses are getting older. People are getting older. And as they do, things don't work like they used to. We have to have them repaired. Cars get older and they are in a decline. But so is the universe. So is the whole. Everything is experiencing the law of thermodynamics. And everything is in a period of decline. Our society is experiencing the same thing. And it is in a period of decline. The church is experiencing the same thing. It's in a period of decline. I shared with them this morning in the early morning message. I just read this past week. 2018, 70% of the United States population believed in Jesus Christ and had some kind of an affiliation with the church. 2020, only 47% are involved with the church. What a decline. What a decline. Law of thermodynamics. The church entered a period of decline right after the Second World War, and it's never gotten over it. The gospel's not being preached like it once was in the times of the apostles. What was the message on that Easter? The truth of the matter is, there was no message on that Easter. They were in shock. They didn't know what had happened. They hadn't really begun to believe yet that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. They didn't have a message. It wasn't until the truth sank in to their hearts, to their minds, till Jesus fellowshipped with them, ate with them, met with them. On that Easter Sunday, they did not have a message. They were in hiding. Remember where he first appeared to them? In the upper room. They were hiding from the Jews. No message. Today, folks, we have a message. And we're sharing that message here with you this morning. And we are sharing it out here at the road with everybody who drives by. Some of you haven't been here for a while. We are so excited about our new sign that we can put pictures up on. Don't leave the property without stopping someplace and parking and seeing what's being shown on that sign. And folks, we may only have 40 of us or so, 40, 45 of us here this morning, but we have 40,000 pass every day, and we're getting the same message out to them. Now, they may not know what to do with it, but the Holy Spirit does. And God has promised that His word will not return to Him void, but that it will accomplish the purpose for which He sent it forth. So we're putting the word out there. And the Holy Spirit can take that, and who knows what He will do with that in the hearts of people. Now, in case you're not a mathematician, we have a potential for 40,000 impressions a day, at least every weekday. If you've ever been on Dorchester Road on a weekday, you know what I'm talking about. 40,000 impressions a day works out to 20 million impressions, prospective impressions a year. 20 million. Our auditorium won't hold that. God has given us a way to minister. And we're just so grateful to you, all of you, who have had a part in that. There was no message on that Easter, but there is a message today. You all know the message, or we might even call it a command. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. That's our message for Easter. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Amen. We haven't gotten to the end of the age, but it may come this year. That's our commission for today. If we believe the Bible to be the Word of God, and we do believe it's absolutely true, then we must fulfill our commission that we have been given, that was given to the disciples, it has been given to us. We need to start fulfilling that commission on our spiritual knees. It's not on our feet. It's on our knees, because that's where we're going to get the power to do the job that Jesus wants us to do. And part of that will come from a time of introspection. When we get on our knees, we need to look inwards and make sure there's no sin there. Nothing that would prevent our prayer from getting through to God. That there's not any unconfessed sin. And if we find it, we need to repent, turn away from it, ask for forgiveness. Then we can seek the Lord's will for the rest of our lives. And we can get busy serving the way that He wants us to serve. And that's what today is all about. That's what we're celebrating today. Because we have the opportunity, if we are in the place God wants us to be, to serve Him. How are you going to serve the Lord this Easter? Is there somebody you're going to tell about Jesus? Is there somebody you should tell about Jesus? Are you telling them that Jesus rose from the dead? A lot of people don't believe that. He rose from the dead by the power of God's Holy Spirit. He He's alive. He's interceding for us at the right hand of God. For all who place their faith in him, he is there. Are you telling your neighbors, your loved ones, that God wants them to be saved so that he can give them eternal life? That's our message. That's the message we have today, 2,000 years after that first Easter Sunday. We celebrate Easter to remind the world the truth of the gospel. We celebrate Easter to remember that Jesus, what Jesus did and what we're supposed to be doing for our Lord. I don't believe, though, like I said earlier, I don't believe we're going to have too many more Easters. I really don't. I don't see how the world can go on much longer before Jesus comes back for his bride, the church. Paul tells us about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'd like for you to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 51. Remember, Easter is a day of hope. Easter is a day of celebration. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, says this: "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Every Easter should remind us of the Apostle Paul's assurance that when the time is full, that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to meet his bride in the air. He's not coming to the earth. He's coming to meet his bride in the air. And that's where we will meet him. Don't let this Easter pass without telling everybody you meet that this could be their last Easter. Now, we're not saying this is it. Nobody knows. That's one thing we know for sure. We don't know. But this could be the last Easter. Do you believe that Jesus is coming back? I do, but I'm not setting a date or time. As Christians living today, I believe that we should show some urgency about finishing our task of telling the world about Jesus' resurrection. That was the message of the early church once they got over the shock. Once they came to believe that it was real, and it is. He has promised to return to get his bride. That's us. He'll keep his promise. What if Jesus doesn't come back in the next year? Well, then, we have another year to fulfill the Great Commission, to tell others about Jesus Christ. Is it wrong to warn lost souls of the world that there will be a time when they will have to account to God for what they did with Jesus? Is that wrong? No. Is it wrong for us to tell them that God wants them to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, which will give them a purpose that has some eternality? Yes, this is Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and the promise of our having eternal life through Him. As a part of that eternal life and the mortal part of it, we have an ordinance which we keep on a regular schedule. Jesus gave two ordinances to the church. The ordinance of baptism, and we have a baptistry, and occasionally we have a soul that gets saved and wants to be baptized, and we baptize them. There was a second ordinance given to the church, and I think it would be very appropriate today if we observe that second ordinance. It's observed from this table here at the front of the sanctuary. On the table are the words, "This do in remembrance of me." Jesus gave that ordinance to his disciples the night that he was betrayed. Paul, in writing about that ordinance in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, mentions the fact that this ordinance is available to everybody. Jesus gave it, even offered it to the very one who betrayed him. And it's offered to each one of you. We practice an open communion here at Coastal Shores Baptist Church. What that means is that if your heart is right with Jesus Christ, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, we would invite you to participate with us in communion, the Lord's Supper. And so as we come to the close of the service, we're going to go ahead and observe the ordinance of communion. If the men will come. While they're coming, let me read some of what went on during that time as they're preparing the table. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And it says, and he took the cup and gave thanks. And he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup, after saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." For 2,000 years, we have observed the ordinance of communion as a way of remembrance. It's called by different names, communion, the Lord's Supper, but it's to be a time of introspection where we look at our hearts and make sure that our relationship with Jesus Christ is correct, that there's nothing between us and him. And then we think about the price that was paid by our Savior for our sin. Let's observe the ordinance of communion. What we do here is that we wait till everybody has been served an element, and then we take it together. You can go ahead. Like I said, you're welcome to participate if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. While we're waiting for the others to be served that are in other parts of the building, be thinking about your own heart, examining it, being sure that you have a proper relationship to Jesus Christ. There's a song that says, "Nothing between me and my Savior." And that's how I hope all of us find our hearts this morning. We were told that before the foundation of the world was ever laid, that God determined that Jesus was going to have to die for the sins of the people. He offered his body. That is what this bread represents. We are told that he prayed and then he broke the bread and said, "This is my body which is given for you. Take ye and eat it." And in like manner, he took the cup. said, this is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it. Tim, have you got a closing hymn? All right.
Closing hymn this morning is 269. 269, your hymnal, He Lives. We'll sing the first and the last stanzas, 269. Let's all stand together, shall we? 269. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. On that last stanza, rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Amen.
At the end of the communion service, it says they sang a song, which we just did, and they went out. Let's be dismissed. Father, we ask that as we go our separate ways, that you will give us safety, that you will take each one to their destination with your protection. Father, that you will use us to accomplish the Great Commission, that we will tell others that we meet today and in the future that He lives. And Father, may that be real to each of our hearts. May we rejoice in that truth. And may your will be done in each heart, in each mind, and in each life. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.